Which always is about prophecy and celebration, lighting of the candles to realize the presence of the Holy Spirit, but also knowing we have Christmas Eve tonight and then tomorrow Christmas Day. So we're gonna mix it up a little bit. We're gonna have some of the prophecy tied with Christmas, and then we're gonna overlay it in a way that I hope will be a blessing for you and your family as you celebrate this season. So our scripture is found in Romans in the 16th chapter of Romans, the very last chapter, the last few verses. And our brother Paul, he writes these words. He says, "So now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writing by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. We celebrate as a family. We're all together. We have all of our children here this morning, me and Leona. Of course, we have Leanna. She's back from Kuwait. We picked her up last Thursday. I guess it was Thursday. And one of the first things she said when we were driving home is, "Where is all the sand?" She's used to sand. I told her we don't have sand in eastern North Carolina. But she enjoyed the greenery that she saw. Hannah's back from the college up there at the School of Great Minds, even though we lost to Wofford, which I can't figure out. I don't know what happened, Brad. I don't know. That was, we celebrate Andrew as he's continuing to grow and his studies over at Western Harnett. And as a family, it's good to be together. I celebrate how we are able to come together in a time of, you know, peace and harmony in the Christmas season and how family is so important to that. But for us to understand this, we need to understand how we're built and how God has made us. We're made in a wonderful way. We're not just a series of impulses or, you know, processes. We're not just, you know, a being that exists. We're connected in many ways. We're connected to the present that we're in right here and now, you know, being together with you and your family and us sharing as a church family. But also we're connected to the past for those that have gone before us and how we have a cloud of witnesses even here today that watch over us, those whose names are close to our hearts. And also we're connected to a future that's being revealed and God is showing to us wonderful, wonderful ways. One of my favorite stories at Christmas, of course, is The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And then the story, what happens is this man who is cantankerous, he's hateful, he's greedy, he's a miser, he's really a bad guy. What he does in the story is he transforms. He becomes a good guy. And that is indeed what the Christmas spirit is about. It's about transformation of the world. God sent Jesus to transform the world. God sent his son Jesus so that we might become more like him, so we can enter into the kingdom that he is providing us. So in the story, as we hear of Ebenezer Scrooge, we see that he's transformed by these ghosts. First by the ghost of his former partner, Bob Marley, and then he's transformed by the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas future, the ghost of Christmas present. And each of these show him snippets or images of his life to help him come to terms with his whole self. It's just amazing. The human, our eyes are able to process a certain amount. In fact, it takes 16 to 18 images in a row for us to see motion. In other words, if we don't see that, it looks like one of those old silent films or it's a single frame. So in other words, a camera in your pocket on your phone is able to be a video camera because it takes 16 images per second. Some take more. It's high definition. It's the quality of the image. But in essence, our eyes see motion because certain things happen in a row. and they happen in quick measure. So for us to understand what's going on around us, we need to understand it's made up of pieces that become part of a greater whole. In the case of Ebenezer Scrooge, he didn't understand his life. He only lived for the moment, didn't see the connection between things past, things future, things present. He lived in his own little bubble. We have a lot of people right now who are living in their own little time bubble, thinking what they think is the center of the universe, when in reality, there's a whole world going on around us. Things are happening every moment. God is making things happen. So let's first look at what has happened, ages past. Ages past is called the fog of history, where we look back and we try to understand history. I'll tell you the truth, I'm 55 and I don't know where the years went by. Now, some of you are able to say that in other ways, and some of you haven't lived that many years yet, but I can tell you that things, in a way, get better. In fact, Leona got on me because we had just our 33rd wedding anniversary on Friday. Isn't that right, Leona? I hope so. It was Friday. 33 years. And I was remembering a pumpkin being at the reception. And she emphatically has told me there was no such item at the reception, and she's ashamed of me for remembering it. But I want you to know that in my mind, that pumpkin is there. I don't know why, but I told her there was a pumpkin on the table, and she said no. Now, she knows I can't remember what I ate yesterday. So she's probably correct, but our memory seems to get a little... it's a little fuzzy. Our memory seems to be shaded by where we are. So ages past is usually shrouded in a fog, in a cloud. But the truth is, God was there. The truth is, grace was present. The truth is, even though it may not have been what we thought, if we were to actually go back and look at the past, which is what happens in the Christmas Carol. He goes back and he looks at the past. He realizes he had someone who loved him and he loved her, yet he didn't act on that love, and that love passed away and he lost the chance he had in his life of having love, and that was part of the reason why Ebenezer Scrooge ended up being a hateful, cantankerous, miser, guy, just a bad guy, is because he did not realize the connection of the moment. He did not realize that what he does now not only affects the future, it affects the past. That was an epiphany that came to me years ago. It was after a Sunday sermon. I was sitting back reflecting upon the sermon and the time of worship, and I had this sudden image that came in my mind of me stepping into a river up in the mountains where our house is and where just we claim as our home over at Lake Genalaska. You have the streams that run over in Maggie Valley. You can go over there, and there's a place that sells apples. You can go out back and walk into the stream, and the water comes rushing at you and is running over rocks, and it's real beautiful. And see, before, I used to think that time was like this stream or like a river, that it would just come and we would go into the future, but the epiphany I had that day was that it just doesn't work that way. It's not that it's past and it's present and future, that in reality, everything comes to this moment where we are. And that's what Ebenezer Scrooge realized, that all the moments of his life came to the moment right now. In other words, where you are right now is the center of your being. You are where God is at this moment right now. When you think back to where you were and you think maybe you're going to be here tomorrow, this is the moment. This is the moment God is connecting to you. In fact, it's what makes this moment real. God is present here and now. And that's what Paul is saying to Romans. He is saying that the mystery has been hidden long ages past. And the mystery he's describing is the proclamation that Jesus is the Christ. So the mystery that's been hidden is going to be revealed. And that's where we are, ages present, where we are right now. And what's being revealed? What's the truth? Well, that's a big question right now in America. What's the truth? We keep trying to redefine truth every single day. You turn on the news, everybody's got their own version of truth. There's no consequences, by the way, for the modern truth. You know, there used to be an old TV show called Truth or Consequences. The truth is a lot of people got an opinion on truth, but nobody has fact on truth except those who understand truth is not something you can claim. It's only something you can realize and live into. Truth is God's presence in this moment. See, the truth is that if it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't even be here. The truth is the world depends upon grace to hold it together. Truth is no matter where we go, God is there. Where we come from, God was there. And where we are, God is there. Don't ask me to repeat that. That's one of the few times that the brain is wired in such a way. I was telling the children the other day, and the children said, I told them this before, and maybe that's what happens when you get older is you tell stories. Now, my stories seem to get embellished. I still think there was a pumpkin at my wedding reception. I tell you the truth, I do. I don't know why I'm thinking there's a pumpkin at a wedding reception. But it's okay because memory is a wonderful thing you can play with. That fish can get bigger every year that you caught. That deer can have more horns than ever before. That life can be lived in such a way. See, truth is our perception, but the truth of God is our reality. So what we're seeing in agents present, where we are right here, right now, that's the next one, says agents present, is that we're seeing God's truth being revealed. So what is the truth? Well, the pulpit is not an opinion place. It's not Fox News or MSNBC or NBC or CNN, and my Lord have mercy, whatever happened to journalism. See, the pulpit is where God's word is proclaimed. Now, we got preachers that want to make it an opinion, you know, place. They may have a political side, but I tell you, my side is the side of Jesus. That's the only side I have. I don't have a conservative Jesus or a liberal Jesus or an uppity Jesus or a down in the gutter Jesus. I don't have any Jesus that's made by any measure of this world. My Christ sits at the right hand of God, and when the time comes and his day happens, he will come back and the world will be judged. We will be judged, and only by his grace will we be saved. So the age present where we are is this truth revealed. See, that's why when we get together, God's grace is with us where we are. No matter how we may seem separated, we are connected by this truth, that God is connecting us. We were in the little town of Mackey's, North Carolina. I was 5 years old. Santa Claus come to church. I remember it well because I was a little boy. And well, what child doesn't like Santa Claus? So we went over to see Santa Claus, and I went to sit on his knee and tell him my list of what I wanted, and I noticed he had a rubber band on his face, and I pulled his beard, and it broke, and I want to tell you, he threw me off. I fell on the floor, and he said, "What did you do that for?" And I said, "You got a rubber band on your face." And the next thing I know, I was being drug out by Mama from the church and back home, and she was telling me never to do it again, and I don't even know to this day what I did other than try to help Santa because he had a rubber band on his face. Now, that story probably didn't happen that way, but to me, it did. To me, it was a big deal. Because have you ever seen this A Christmas Story? Is that a classic one? Who didn't want a BB gun when they were a boy? I tell you, BB gun was the end of the world. That was it. It didn't have to be a Red Ryder BB gun. Any type of BB gun with a bent barrel would have been okay. And you have to be careful with those things. But you remember the scene in the mall where he goes to the shopping center and Santa's there and he's trying to give Santa the list and Santa's kind of just pushing the boy away and finally he puts a boot to his face and shoves him down the sled or just the thing. You know what I'm talking about, that TV show. What's it called, A Christmas Story or something like that? With Ralphie. Ralphie's the boy's name. Now, some of you watch it every year. Some of you know all the lines, I know. See, in that story, that boy, he's living in a reality of his childhood, and he's remembering it in this voiceover where he talks about this Christmas that took place, that he was just this regular young boy with a little kid brother, and there were bullies, and there was Christmas, and there was the excitement, and there was that lamp on the table. Y'all remember that funny part, the lamp on the table and his daddy and the dogs, and they ended up at the Chinese restaurant eating some duck for Christmas dinner. Y'all remember that story? See, we're living in a presence where we are right now, that we're living upon these ideas of what has been. And the truth is, we tend to remember the things that mean the most to us. I remember that Christmas because that was a Christmas we were all together as a family. Now we're together as our family on this Christmas, and you are with your family in some form or fashion, connected in some way. See, we are connected, and this mystery is now bubbling up so we can start to see pieces of it. And right now, today, we're seeing pieces of heaven. We're seeing pieces of eternal that are happening in this moment. In other words, what we are seeing here is important because it has eternal consequences. You are together today because we want to be together for eternity. We are together here as the body of Christ because we look forward to a heaven that is to come. We live in the presence where God has given us in His holy presence, in the presence of God, knowing that God is making something possible out of the impossible. What I love is when God takes ordinary and He makes extraordinary. He takes ordinary people who live ordinary lives and He helps them to live extraordinary lives. He takes Ebenezer Scrooges who have lived only for themselves, and suddenly He has this revelation. In fact, the reason that Charles Dickens wrote this story, A Christmas Carol, is he had gone to the Plain Road Rabble School, which was a school for impoverished young children in England who also were illiterate, and he went to the school one day to visit, and he was seeing the children, and they were living in poverty and living in sorrow, living without families. They were disconnected. They were in this orphanage, and his heart was so moved, he was wondering why England couldn't see past its own issues and see the need that was present in these young people. See, the truth is, right now, there are people who are lonely, people who are hurting. And that's what he wrote the story about, how we need to transform into a people who are aware that there is a greater need that is present. See, that's the truth that is revealed. And what God does is He takes this past that we have lived, He takes the present that we are living, and He makes it into the future, the ages future, where we learn to obey and we learn to love Him. I don't know. I don't know. So I've got the mic on, Brad. Okay. Let me take these off so I don't trip. They help me to see up close. Did you hear a word that man said up there on that pulpit? You did?
Yes.
What did he say? You don't have to preach the whole sermon again. Just what did he say? What was he talking about?
About ages future and ages present.
So ages future, ages present, ages past. He's talking about the presence of God that is there. Do you know what tomorrow is? It's what?
Christmas Day.
How old are you?
10.
10 years old. Man, when I was 10 years old, I could run like the wind. See, my memory's getting even better as I get older. This is an important day, isn't it? Christmas.
Yes.
You're going to be with your family, right?
Why?
Be with your little brother?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You got to treat him right now.
Yes.
I was a little brother. You got to treat little brother right. You got to protect him. Take care of them. Amen. This is special, isn't it? You love your mama?
Yes. I
always love your mama. And you love your daddy. And you love your little brother.
Yes.
I'm not going to pick on you. Unless you want me to. No. But you're going to have a good Christmas, right? Do you have like a big present you want? Do you want to tell me what it is?
A curling iron.
A curling iron. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to get Leona a sewing machine, but she don't want me to get her one. I don't know what. I don't understand that. Yeah. Well, I hope Santa's real good to you in that. Uh-oh. You going to have fun tomorrow? You wanting a Red Ryder BB gun? No, you don't want a BB gun. You want a soccer ball, football, baseball? You want a gaming system? You want something to eat? I do. I want something to eat. I could go to everybody here. I could talk about what Christmas means to you. And for some of you, it was a snowfall that happened that year that snow never came, and your family was together. For another, it was a time that a son or a daughter or a grandson came back from a foreign land in a war and came back not only in one piece but with a good heart. For others, it was at Christmas that you were facing loss, and it was a Christmas that you were alone, but you knew you were still loved. For me, Christmas has always been centered around church. Church is my home. I grew up the son of a Methodist preacher and the grandson of a Free Will Baptist preacher. To me, church and Christmas are intertwined together, from the tree to the lights to the candles. They're each a part of my story, the story that God has written for me. Christmas is a part of you. Now, people say that it's been made secular, and they say that it's not worth anything anymore, and it's all commercialized. But what they fail to understand is that this isn't just a holiday. This is God's day, where God said to the world, I'm going to take care of this. And so what he did is he sent his son, Jesus, to come into the world to help us to realize who we are and whose we are. See, God made Christmas for us to know him. And how do we know our God? Do we know our God like an ancient Greek god, a god of the elements, a god of thunder or lightning? Do we know God by some mystical, philosophical god, a god of wisdom or insight? No, we know God through a child, a little infant, a baby, born to ordinary people in an ordinary time. Our God came to us in the most ordinary, and he's shown us the most extraordinary. In other words, he's come into our lives where we are. You don't have to go up to a mountain to see him and to meet him. You don't have to go to a valley to see him or meet him. You just need to be where you are right now, and God's coming to you. See, our God, he comes to us where we are. And he says to us, you can take this, you can handle this, because I'm on your side. You're not alone. You can face this battle. You can overcome this obstacle. No matter what happens, I am with you forever to the end of this time, he says, to the end of this present time, because I'm building through this moment what I'm going to give you in that moment. When you go from here to there, from here to eternity, God is creating this moment for us. There's a part of me that wishes I could roll back the clock and I could be that little boy again sitting on Santa's knee in Mackey's, North Carolina, because I remember the tree and I remember the presents. It was a 50 state. It was that board game. You know, they used to play board games. And it was where you put the map and the pieces in all 50 states. And I always was good in school with those kind of things because I played those toys that taught me that. And I remember that, but I know I can't go back there. I can't go back to that time. I can live my life sulking and being sad like Ebenezer Scrooge. I could talk about love lost and moments I had chances, but I choose this moment because God has put me here. He's put me here with a family that loves me, and I love them, and I'm proud of them, and I want them to know it. And I don't want a day to go by that I don't tell them I love them in some form or fashion or some way. I've known people who cannot say those words for whatever reason, pride. But make sure this Christmas you understand what the greatest gift of all is. God is with us right here, right now. And God is for us. See, that's what's exciting. Is that no matter where we've been, no matter where we're going to go, our God is there. No matter what we may believe or think, He is there. No matter when we get disillusioned and disappointed and things don't work out, our God is there. And when we reach the summit and we see the mountaintop and we cross through the tape and we finish at the finish line, God is there. See, sisters and brothers, what we have in this church is worth more than gold, even fine gold. What we have in this church right now does not exist in this postmodern America. Oh, there's a few places that are like us, but far and wide, most churches have given up hope. They're just hoping to meet the budget for the year. Their people are just going through the motions and they show up because of tradition of family. But we don't gather because of tradition alone. We celebrate our tradition. We gather because we believe in Jesus the Christ. You don't have to be sold a bill of goods on this. I don't have to somehow coax you into believing. You believe in Jesus or you wouldn't be here. Now, how much you believe in Jesus, that's a different matter. And we need to work on that as we grow deeper in faith. But God's calling us to the challenge of what lies in the future. And I don't know what lies in the future. I don't know what's going to happen in this next year. I've got to admit some things don't look good. I've got to admit some things could be bad. Things could go really in a wrong way. I mean, Carolina lost to Wofford. There's no telling what's going to happen this coming year. Duke may even win this championship, and oh, God forbid that happen. But it could happen. We don't know what's going to happen. But what we do know is whoever wins whatever championship, whatever time we stumble and we fall, I want to thank you, Jake, for going with me to the emergency room. So me and Jake were checking out the emergency room over at Cape Fear. It was something, wasn't it? We got to go into a private part most people don't get to go into. I tell you the truth, I was ready to do some surgery right there. I felt qualified. Nah, I barely made it through the screening. They have a man with a wand. He hit me with a wand, by the way. I want you to know that. He kept saying he was sorry, and I told him it was okay. It was okay to beat preachers with a wand, you know. But the amazing thing is, when we fall down, we get up. Christmas is about getting up. So if you've fallen down this year, you can get up. You have God's permission to do so. And if you're running, you can run faster. And if you're walking, you can walk faster. Because where we want to go is that future. That's where we want to go. Imagine, not just one day, but every day, for eternity in love, in God's presence. Every day at His feet. Every day celebrating His kingdom. Every day where all of our hopes are true. This is the truth. Heaven waits for us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to see and be transformed as Ebenezer Scrooge, as he opened the window and called out, and he was able to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, even though his life had turned bitter. For he transformed, not because of fear, but because of faith. He transformed because he found something he could believe in. He could believe in that child born on that day and how the baby Jesus we can claim as our own Savior. Lord, help us to be transformed, that we claim this Christmas that we are a part of. Though it is a strange day, it is a day that you have made. Though it is a day we do not understand, we can claim the moment that we have with each other. For these moments shall pass, and just like a photograph, they shall become images pressed in our memory and in our mind. The day will come when we will have to remember these things, but the truth is, you have already connected all that has been and all that will be into this moment that we are. Your love is here. Your love transcends this time that we live in. In Jesus' holy, sweet name we pray. Amen.